Kathy and Judy here in the Showcase Studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio.
And it's sunny.
On Michigan Avenue. It's a beautiful day. Actually, supposed to get up in the mid-50s today, right?
Guess who's playing golf?
You?
What? Never.
Tom.
Tom.
Oh, okay. And many other men. Will find any excuse to do it.
Right.
And some women as well. I wanted to talk. We can't ignore what's happened this week again. And one of the factors that I find interesting, and I was talking about it with my friend Joanne last night, and that is the fear factor. And the New York Times had a story this week headlined, Fear in the Air, Americans Look Over Shoulders. And it made sort of really broad statements, I thought, about the level of fear that exists at this point. Are you fearful? I haven't asked you this, have I?
I'm not fearful, but I don't have a kid in school.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how I'd feel if my kids were still going to school in, you know, little old Wilmette.
Mm-hmm.
And no, because I think what happens, happens. What I'm stunned by is that on average, there's one person a day killed in a mass killing. There's something like 400 in the 20s people dead from mass killings this year in the U.S., and there's only 365 days a year.
And how many people killed every year? In auto accidents, and yet we fearlessly step into our cars and head out on the highways, and that's something over
I'm
which
I'm fearless. I'm fearful.
Oh, you're okay. Well, the statement here's one of the statements that was in the story that sort of twisted my undies, and that was, but still, a creeping fear of being caught in a mass rampage has unmistakably settled itself firmly in the American consciousness.
Who wrote it?
N.R. Kleinfeld. I don't know who N.R. is. But I would beg to differ. And when I was having this conversation with Joanne last night, Joanne said she was not fearful either. I'm not fearful. My life isn't changed. I go into stores. I sit here in the Showcase studio. And Joanne said, I think that's a function of age. And I don't disagree. And we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 by phone or by text. Are you right now, is your fear level elevated or are you proceeding as you proceeded last year, say, at this time? Do you consciously, constantly worry that you're going to get caught in an attack like this?
And if your children do, your adult children, because, or if you are an adult child, you know, because I too think it has to do with age.
I do.
Because we selfishly have lived the greater part of
our
lives.
Exactly. I think those of us who are much closer to our death than we are to our birth, or
never
even to our middle age.
Never let a show go by without our referring to our imminent
demise. But please give us a call, 312-918-7200 and
981.
I'm sorry, 981-7200.
What's an age thing?
Or text us. You can do that as well. And let us know if you are fearful. This is not a political forum. This is not for you to state who's doing this or guns or whose fault it is or anything else.
It's just your reaction for your own life.
Right. Your personal sense of safety or fear at this point. And the New York Times story, which was a front page story, and I don't know if it's echoed in our local stories or not.
The New York Times today ran an editorial about the ease of getting guns and how this must end. On their front page, the first time in, I think it was 95 years. That means they skipped World War II, the Holocaust, the Iraq things, as an editorial, the first time in 95 years.
All right, let's do the chancy thing that we haven't done in a long time. Mike is working the board until Bob gets here, so let's just go down these calls quickly without having them screened.
Okay.
Hi, this is Kathy and Judy. Are you afraid all the time? Hello?
Not all the time, no.
More than before?
I'm a little more concerned than I was before because I have an 11-year-old.
Okay, so I think people with children...
I can understand.
Right. So you're in your 40s or 50s?
I'm actually 51.
Okay.
I have a 20-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Well, we know there's a story. We know there's a story there.
So was the second husband better than the first one?
No, actually, believe it or not, it's the same husband.
Oh, you're one of those.
we actually lost a child in the pregnancy at like six and a half months.
Gosh.
Well, did one of those never going to have any more children? We'll just have one. And
right.
then made a split decision.
Surprise.
In God's hands. And guess what? One time and I'm pregnant with Dylan. So.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks.
My daughter's in college and my son is in school. And the fear was enough that he had an outing to go to a big auditorium locally with his school on Monday.
Yeah.
To see the Nutcracker. And I chose to keep him home because schools from all over were going to be going.
Oh.
And there was going to be, you know, school buses outside of this place. And I guess my biggest fear was that is like a red flag target. I don't stop from doing anything else. We'll go on a plane to Florida to go on vacation, but right after the mass shootings, the recent one, I Monday decided to not. I decided this week not to send him to his
How disappointed was an 11-year-old boy about not going to the Nutcracker ballet?
Oh, he was happy.
Okay, there you go.
However,
the only person in the United States happy about the potential terrorist attack. 312-981-7200. We're just asking you, are you fearful? Do you fear right now? Almost constantly or routinely throughout the day that you could be the victim of a terror attack. This is Jill. Hey, Jill.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm not scared all the time, but the day it happened, we were having a retirement party, a lovely retirement party, and I started thinking about what I work in a hospital, so where would I go? Where would we go hide? Turn off the light, but then you think, am I putting patients on my back while I'm hiding?
Right, exactly.
If they're confused, are they making noise while we're in this interior room
right.
with the lights out?
It was interesting last night. I woke up about 4 or this morning, and Matt Bubala was talking to a security expert about what you should do, how you should prepare yourself. And it basically was common sense stuff. Know where the exits are. Be alert. Stuff like that. And there was another video.
Right.
There was another video this morning that I saw, mm-hmm. and the three potential things were, run, hide, or fight. Run is if you're far enough away that you can get away. You know, don't go try to save anybody.
Right.
Just run.
I...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just about to say that we do continuing ed every year in the hospital. And this year we had what to do in the event of a mass shooting.
Ugh.
And yes, that's what they said. You know, turn off the lights, lock the door.
Right.
You know,
don't make noise.
Your last resort
right.
is fighting or playing dead. But they also had things like to go when you're exiting the building, you're to go to the corners. And cross the street because it would be hard to shoot out of the windows at you. But I, to tell you the truth, I can't remember them saying anything about what we're supposed to do with our patients. I could grab the babies.
Right.
I mean.
Right, exactly.
We got a couple of, you know, elderly security guards and a little girl security guard. I don't even think they have a gun. I mean, we'd be sitting duck
right.
in a hospital.
But, and yet, you don't worry about it.
But I don't worry about it. What can you do?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
I'm old, too.
Exactly. Thank you, Jill. We'll be back
tomorrow. Happy holidays.
Well, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Merry freaking Christmas. We'll be back tomorrow. Your calls and texts at 312-981-7200. Kathy and Judy. We're not talking the politics of what happened this week, who did what, whose fault it is. We're just talking about you and asking you, are you fearful? Has this made you more fearful as you go about your daily life?
I am not fearful, but I will say I wake up every morning wondering what next, what what am I going to hear today?
I do that same thing, but I don't do it in a personal context like,
no, I don't either.
What today? One of our girlfriends from 630 says 60 years old, not fearful at all. This is exactly what these, I think we can say this on the air, pricks want from us. My daughter's college roommate is Muslim. They have become good friends. I'm more afraid of their room being targeted by vandals targeting her, mm-hmm. the Muslim roommate. I wasn't worried until this week when U of C canceled classes Monday and I have a son there. Then Wednesday, another son was interviewing in San Bernardino.
Oh, geez.
Right.
Pick your place.
Yeah. Not afraid, but watchful and ready. I'm more worried that Donald Trump will get elected than I am of being a victim of terrorism. This is Gloria. Hi, Gloria.
I am out in Orland Park, and we have so much of a heavy Middle Eastern sect out here, uh-huh. and we have robberies at the mall. They were all over the news last night. However, nothing's going to stop me. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to change my way of life. Maybe a little more vigilant, but
okay, because you know,
like,
most of the terror attacks in the United States have not been from people of Mid-Eastern descent.
That's true too.
They've been just plain old white guys,
on.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're, how old are you, Gloria?
I am 69 years old, and
okay.
I have to say, I relate so much to all the topics on GN, and I'm so grateful and happy that you are back on, and I'm worried that you won't be there someday. That's
we
my
won't.
Only worry.
Well, we won't. Don't worry too much, Gloria, because that'll happen
someday. You think
someday.
You're worried?
And I have a son who went online about all this stuff that went viral about Orland Mall, and it was just a terrible thing that was being written up about it, and it's just turned out to be so bogus. You call your local police department, and they agreed wholeheartedly. So I'm not going to let anything change my ways.
Atta girl.
Hey, woman.
Thanks, Gloria.
Thank you.
This is Darlene. Hey, Darlene.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Are you afraid?
No, because I drive the Eisenhower to work and back every day.
And that's scary.
Oh, heck yes.
Okay, so you're yes. more afraid of driving than you are of terrorism.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Darlene, can I ask you, how old are you?
64.
Okay, see, I think there is...
It is an age thing.
I think it is an age thing. Let's. Hey, Dave, how old are you before we start?
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Dave. How old are you?
I am 46.
Okay.
I'm a father of a 9-year-old and 11-year-old beautiful girl.
There
and,
you go.
This week, I've done this several times now, and I'm sad to have to do it, but I've had discussions with them of what to do if somebody starts shooting in their school or at a local place, and it hit home this week. I live in Darien by the Walmart where there was a shooting this week, and I've been in that store before with these 9-year-old and 11-year-old, my daughters, and we could have been in that store, and I don't know if worried's the right word. But I am concerned.
And aware.
And, I'm sorry, what?
And aware. Probably more
I'm
aware.
Very,
right.
Very aware of my surroundings. I'm trying to teach my daughters about their surroundings without scaring them. I watch their face and their reactions. They're so young, but I think it's almost irresponsible as a parent with what's going on in today's world to not educate about
okay.
how to deal with that.
Well,
quick question. Have you considered if you go into a store not to bring the kids along, or does that reinforce fear?
No, you have to live your life. I want my kids to live their life, but I do protect myself. I have the gun permits and stuff, and I do carry a firearm, and I actually feel uncomfortable when I don't have it, which I think is quite a statement, you know, so that's kind of the sad statement. But.
And Dave, I wonder about that, because say you're in Walmart with your two little girls, and all of a sudden you hear a shooting happening. How can you possibly take a handgun and aim and target a single person without the potential of harming other people as well?
Right. So I mean, that could be a long conversation, but to answer it quickly for the radio, I've taken the right classes. I train. I'm good at what I do. If that happened to me and I was in a Walmart, my first thing I would do, if I'm not by the shooters, I would get out of the store. That's for the police to handle, not for me. I'm not mm-hmm. going to try to save everybody in the store. It's not my job. If my kids or myself are in harm's way and that gun is aimed at me, I would in a heartbeat defend myself, and I think I would take out the person that was trying to harm me
So do you always have your gun at easy access?
I do.
Okay.
With the proper permits, and I have had good training. I want that to be said because I think it's firearms need to be handled responsibly. People that don't do it the right way are dangerous.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. A lot of texts. I don't disagree often, but I disagree today. I'm almost 64 and am a lot more scared. I'm from the suburbs and was downtown yesterday and was on edge the entire time. Somebody else says, I wonder if I should say something to my police department about my neighbors. That saying nothing is wrong, but something's not right has closed my thinking about them for 6 years. I wonder.
Doesn't say why.
No, I'm 58 and definitely more conscious of this. Was at a concert Thursday night and during the music found myself scanning the room and wondering where I'd run or hide if I could successfully play dead if shooters came in.
I think you should do that if you're nervous. That's what I mean. I think that's important to do.
And our girlfriend Bill from Mokina says, I am more afraid of Judy behind the wheel of a car than I am of a terrorist attack. Judy decided to change topics.
Not because I don't want to do that topic, but because Rob Hart's lead story, Rob, was Kim Kardashian having her baby, right?
Oh, yeah. We will have status reports every 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, because I have read this story about something called a push present. And Kim Kardashian announced to Kanye that there's some kind of, it's a $1,000 necklace that she would like him to give her after the baby is born, which is now.
Okay.
And since I saw it in the paper, he better be well-armed with that little sucker right now. Because he doesn't have a financial excuse like most of humanity.
Right, exactly.
But the article acted like it was a brand new thing of giving your wife a present after she's had a baby. And I never got one, but I know people who got presents from husbands after having a baby. And the article was also written as if it was sort of an obnoxious thing to do. I think it's kind of a nice thing.
Well, I think it's kind of a nice thing, but it's also a private thing. So somewhere along the line, it was made public that she has asked for this.
Yeah.
That's the thing that people... One of the many reasons why people dislike the Kardashians. There's not a private moment in their lives.
Well,
so
when she conceived the baby is.
I'm sure it's been discussed. I'm sure somewhere along the line.
My question is basically, do you think it's a nice thing? Did you ever get one? I never got a present for having either of my children, but I kind of didn't expect one. I got flowers.
I don't recall getting.
I gave one.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you give?
I gave my wife it was a chain with an H, because her daughter's name is Harriet, with her birthstone on it, and I'm guessing I'm going to be giving another one when number two comes in March. So that's...
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you know if number two is a boy or a girl?
No, it's going to be a surprise.
Were you also surprised with Harriet?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's
Love the
fun.
Name. Love the name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't have it at the ready because you didn't know what you were getting. And clearly, again, was your wife surprised?
By the push present?
By the gift.
I think it was, there was a level of expectation simply because we had friends who had given birth before we did. So, and there were push presents as part of their childbearing process. So I just thought, well, why not be the person who, I don't want to be the person who says, well, I don't have a push present for you.
And are they called that?
Yeah.
So that's sort of standard now?
I don't know if it's standard. It was a thing that was happening with all of our friends. So I just felt it was probably best to get in line. But I had a friend who gave an iPad to his wife after she gave birth.
Yikes. Well, give us a call. 312-981-7200. Is that sort of standard now that you, if you're the birth giver, you expect that? Or if you're the helper, you expect that you're going to be required to give that. I'm just reading the story about Kim having given birth this morning, and she went in last week to have an ECV, an external cephalic version, which basically is done to manually turn the baby from a breech position to a head-down position. Is that done internally or externally? Do they just sort of manipulate your big old tummy, or do they have to go in and do that?
Well, I'm just kind of curious. You're looking at me like I'm Dr. Judy, but I would imagine that the effort begins on the outside. Because
says they don't give you any pain medication. Mm-hmm. And they gave me an IV with medication to relax my uterus. And then three doctors attempted to work together to turn the baby.
Oh,
push gifts. Push gifts is what we're talking about. And Tony gets it, right, Tony?
Yes, I did. How are you guys doing this morning?
All right, okay. But we're not having a baby
this week.
Oh, no. We had our son just turned three the day after Thanksgiving. So 3 years ago when we had our son, we had tried a couple times and, you know, failed, miscarriage and whatnot. So when we were finally pregnant and getting close to the due date, I knew nothing about the push gift. And then it was friends of ours and people that I knew all the time. So what are you getting your wife for having a baby? What are you getting your wife for having a baby? I'm like, I don't know.
What am I supposed to get her? Right.
Yeah, right. What am I supposed to get her? So I actually did get her a push gift because I knew this baby meant a lot to us. We didn't know if we're ever going to be able to have another one.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually went out and got her a nice pair of diamond earrings because I knew how much this baby meant to her, and it was a special gift for her. So,
okay.
Wow.
And you
gift, but,
and you remained conscious and helpful throughout the whole process.
Actually, I just sat there for about 15 hours until they decided, they came in and asked her, the baby hasn't moved much. What would you like us to do? My wife said, just get him out of me. So she ended up having a C-section after about 15 or 16 hours.
But you got to be in there for that, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was,
for the surgery?
Yeah, it was weird, though, because they came in and got her, and they said, put these on. We'll be back and get you in 5 minutes. And I sat there for like a half an hour, and then a nurse came in and got me, and I went in and sat down. And about 5 minutes later, my son was born. So it was kind of I was in there just for about the last few minutes of the surgery.
All right. Well, thank you, Tony.
So you can even get a push present for not pushing.
Oh, right. This is Catherine. Wait, hi, Catherine.
And let me just read this one text. I think a push gift sounds absolutely appalling. A baby should be a shared experience between the couple and shouldn't need gifts or payment. Well, they're... Yeah, all right.
And from 630, I am having my wisdom teeth removed. I expect a removal gift. All right, Catherine, what's your deal?
Those are some funny texts. I did get a push present, and as you said, I did not push. I also had a C-section, but it was kind of a, hey, you carried my baby for 9 months. Thank you. You're giving me a gift. Here's a gift from me. So my husband also got me diamond earrings, and like a previous caller said, it was, you know, kind of like my cousin had gotten one, and a few of our friends had. So it was the same thing. He didn't want to be the husband that didn't show his appreciation for the baby.
This is good news for jewelers.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yes, it is. Right, and Apple
they
stores.
Can push the push present, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Catherine. 312-981-7200, text from the text line. My friend's husband gave her a present after their second child was born. He had a vasectomy. You, Bob Ferguson.
Push it.
Push presents is the topic.
And this is Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. There.
Larry?
Yep. Yes.
Hi.
Hello. I'm an adoptive mom of a Chinese girl.
Uh-huh.
So there was no pushing for me. However, my present was a trip to China.
To get your baby.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the present I got. You couldn't get anything better.
That's your daughter.
Pardon me?
Plus you got your daughter. How old is she now?
Oh, she'll be 21 in February.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you sound a little tired of the whole thing.
There you go. Thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. This is Stephanie. Hi, Steph.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I've never heard of a push present, before, so that's a new term. My children are 15 and 13. But my husband always knew that I wanted a tennis bracelet. So after the birth of our first of our daughter, it was not until we got home that he had a box in the carrier, and the surprise was the tennis bracelet.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was a nice price, but I didn't get anything for the second one.
Oh, you know, I have a question about tennis bracelets. I was thinking about this the other night. I always thought they were so beautiful. And for those of you who don't know what they are, it's like a string of gold between round diamonds. And it's very delicate. It's very pretty. Do people wear them now? Do you wear your push present?
I do. I still do. Yes, I absolutely love it.
How much do they cost? What is a tennis bracelet cost? What's the range?
Well, it depends on the quality.
It depends on how large, the quality of the diamonds, how large the diamonds are. I think mine was a couple thousand.
Wow. Do you take it off at night?
Yeah. I do, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I take all my jewelry off at night.
Does it take a long time?
Yes.
Is that a big project?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. And I have the external version is all done externally on the abdomen, just so you know.
Yeah, we have a text to that.
The external version of what?
The turning of the baby.
The turning of the baby.
Oh, they do.
In fact, Kathy, your sister Mary.
Yes.
Was at the birth of my daughter.
Oh, my sister Mary, who was a labor and delivery nurse for about 30 years, probably attended the births of thousands of babies. So she's cool, and she's Steph.
She is.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's a sweetheart. Yeah. All right, Stephanie, thanks.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. We're talking about push presents.
One of our texts says, what's the statute of limitations? My kids are 33, 31, and 25. Can I still collect?
And another one says, baby number one, I got a Yadro. Number two, nothing. We had no money. Number three, a crappy foot massager because he didn't want to rub my feet. And number four, a vasectomy. This is Nina. Hi, Nina.
Oh, it's Gina.
Oh, hi, Gina. That's what,
we meant to say.
Right.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you get a push present?
I did. I got a second wedding band with my son's name engraved in the wedding band.
Oh, that's sweet. Ooh. What, did you plan just to have one child?
No.
So what happened the next time?
Well, we don't have another one, but I'm hoping for it.
Oh.
Are you, as they say, working on it?
Trying to, yes.
Are you doing the thing where you call them at work and say, I'm ovulating, you better come home?
We're not there yet.
Okay, but you might be at some point.
Wait, is there some kind of disagreement as to whether we want a second baby?
Oh, no, we for sure want one.
And how old is number one?
Number one is 2.5.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that, Nina.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I'm 69 years old, and my mother was given a push present, but they didn't call it that.
Yeah.
And it was a bottle of My Sin perfume.
Oh, my God.
And it's gorgeous. And in those days, it was terribly expensive.
And that would have been probably in the 50s.
It was in 46.
In the late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
My Sin perfume. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Somebody else says, this is nuts. This is on text. This is nuts. The baby's the gift. Hey, Shirley, you got a push gift?
Well, yes, but it wasn't called that back then. I got a beautiful diamond ring. It was in the shape of a lock, and a month later was our anniversary, and he gave a matching bracelet.
Oh, nice. Are you guys rich?
Well, he died in 86, and he was a doctor at the time.
Huh, so you were probably comfortable.
Right.
You did better than the woman in one of our texts who said, I got a Dyson.
Yeah, I saw that. Shirley, thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot.
Remember, we're one day closer to spring.
Actually, I drove by a magnolia tree this morning, and the buds were swelling. So wow. This kind of weather, 50 degree, mid 50s in December, is very confusing to trees. They don't know what the hell is going on.
Right, and Judy, happy Hanukkah.
Oh, thank you.
When is that? Thank you, Shirley.
It starts tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
It does. Thank you for telling me.
Is that based on the moon or the sun or
it's
what?
The Jewish calendar.
Okay.
We don't have your calendar. We have our own calendar.
What year is it? What Jewish year is it?
Probably 57.
57.
Well, if I got the first 5,700, I
that's not bad. You're close. That counts.
It's terrible. Please, if you're Jewish, do not write me and tell me I'm a bad Jewish person. We all do
not.
Our religion in
your own
ways.
Way. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And I respect yours, and you don't have to respect mine, but you don't have to dump on me.
Yeah, and you don't
that
have,
happens
right.
sometimes.
Don't go all judgmental.
Yeah, then I go out and buy a Torah and reread it.
That I think is a thing of this century, of the 21st century.
What?
We're all so freaking judgmental.
That you're not Christian enough, you're not
You're
Jewish
not, right,
enough.
Yeah, you're not Muslim enough, you're not good enough, you're not Democratic enough. The internet has given everybody the opportunity to sit in judgment on other people, on how they look, on what they wear. And, you know, and here we are doing the same thing with Kim Kardashian, but she sort of asks to be looked at and judged and just looked at, basically. I hope she's fine. I hope the baby, everything went fine. I don't know if she had a cesarean with this baby or not. And one of our girlfriends also says that she had that turning the breech baby thing. And she says, yeah, it's not pleasant. But one of them went and got acupuncture. She said, I told the doctor, no, I'm going for acupuncture and then you can do it. And she said it was great. It wasn't nearly so bad.
Did the acupuncture turn the baby around?
No, but it made it less. The fact that she was being acupunctured made it less painful, made it less uncomfortable. I think that's what doctors say. This is going to be a little uncomfortable. 312-981-7200. Calls or texts. Some of you know who this is. It's really a beautiful voice. Me of the Stevie Nicks Silent Night. Several years ago when Kurt Vanderaa was our producer, Kurt put together a compilation of Silent Nights, I think, from different artists. And it was because I love the Stevie Nicks version. Do we have the Stevie Nicks version? Do you have that, Bob?
Well, tell Ferguson's. Who that was singing.
That was Miley Cyrus.
Which is...
Here's... Stevie Nicks, slightly more nasal, but still a really clear, beautiful voice. Yeah, the Miley.
Cyrus is considerably more beautiful.
It is. It's very, very lovely, and I mean that's not something
I'm
that we generally.
She even really has a voice.
Yeah.
You know.
Apparently, she does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that Bill Murray special, which has gotten a lot of press, mm-hmm. if that has already aired or if that's coming up over the holidays.
I thought it might be this weekend. He's on the cover.
Oh, it's on Netflix. Okay, thanks,
right.
Mike. Yeah.
He's on Vanity Fair.
Yeah,
cover.
He got himself a new publicist
there
or something.
There was also a story about him being revered by bazillions of people. Who, you know, just for any arena that he was somebody that people really idolize.
Yeah.
Bill Murray.
Yeah. Go figure. Because he's sort of in the last several years, whenever I've seen him, he seems sort of dissolute. Is that the correct word? You're the vocabulary person. Doesn't dissolute seem disheveled and uncared for and
yeah.
not... in a good place. Somebody asked me the other day if I knew what solipsism was. And I said, I only know it because I've heard you use it. I mean, it's not a word that I would normally use, but it was applied
no,
to...
No, you never heard me use that.
Really?
Because I don't know what it means.
Oh, it's sort of a sense that the world revolves around me, that everything is about me, and it was used in connection with a couple of the presidential candidates. I'm not going to get started, but that's what it was used in. And I said, I only know it because I've heard Judy use it. And you use words all the time that I have to say, what does that mean? Because you have such a good vocabulary.
Well, thank you for teaching me about solipsism.
Solipsism,
what
yes.
was it again?
Sort of, I'm not sure that narcissistic applies, but if someone who is solipsistic is someone who everything always comes back to them.
Oh, there are a lot of people who do that.
Well, I can look it up.
One.
Yeah, I can look it up too. Anyway, 312-981-7200 is our number. And one of the things that we promoted when we were talking about this week's show, I had read a piece, which of course I can't find now, but it said generally that public opinion has kind of changed on the topic of people who get loaded at weddings. And I've been at weddings where the bride and or groom were loaded and was not amused, did not. But I admit that I come to it with a, I'm not a good drinker. One drink is generally my limit. After that, I don't like how I feel. And when I'm at a party and most people have had three or four drinks, I go, I'm done because they're at a different party than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never been a big fan of people who are stupid drunk at weddings. And I think there has been at some level a tolerance of that. Oh, that's Frank. It's 10 o'clock, of course. This is the time he's falling down.
What you don't want is a person who's a designated speech giver to be one of them.
Exactly.
And I can remember a wedding that you and I were at together where there was that.
And it was unpleasant.
And uncomfortable for the whole room.
Right.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. So 312-981-7200. How do you feel about that, particularly at
this
a wedding?
This was about young people, wasn't it? Wasn't it about people in their 30s?
Yes, right, because generally that's the age range.
Right, and I think they're so conscious. I don't know if it's said in the article. I did read the article, but I don't know if it's said in the article what some of the whys might be. But because people are so public now, because Bob Jones is on LinkedIn and, you know, you never know who's in the room and somebody might say, who is, you know, oh, I just got a, you know, inquiry about a job or something. I think they're more pragmatic, adult, career focused, that they don't want to look like a butthole
Right, and because everybody's got cell phones, and if you're going to be falling down drunk, somebody's
right.
probably going to get it, right? And
right.
and possibly even post it on Facebook. So I'm just curious. I'm 70, so it's not something that I find very amusing, or truly, in my case, never have. Being drunk is not something that I think is fun or funny, or I don't want to be there. I'm just uncomfortable when that's the atmosphere in the room or at the event. So give us a call or send us a text, 312-981-7200. Who is that?
Rihanna.
Oh, okay. How should I have known that, for Pete's sake? We're talking about a recent survey among 30-somethings asking about their opinions of people who get drunk at weddings. And this is Betty. Hi, Betty.
Oh,
hi, Betty.
Hi, how are you guys?
Okay.
Good to hear you. I've been sleeping in lately, so I don't catch you all the time.
How late do you sleep?
Oh, dear. I can't tell you. It's embarrassing.
Do you sleep till noon sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
How late do you stay up at night?
Are you still in bed?
I don't fall asleep till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Oh, well, no wonder you sleep late.
No.
Are you a lounge singer or something?
No, I'm not. I'm retired. I'm
Do you go to the boats?
Do I what?
Go to the boats.
Not in years.
Okay. We just wonder what keeps you up. You're just on that schedule now.
I'm just on that crazy schedule.
Yeah.
I can't get off of it.
See, and I'm generally sound asleep by 10, but I'm generally awake. Generally awake by 5:30 or 6.
Yeah.
So I sometimes think if you could just stay awake later, then you could eventually adjust your schedule.
I've tried.
And sleep late like Betty.
I've tried to stay, but it doesn't work.
All right. So what's your drunk story, Betty?
I went to a wedding recently, and the couple were a sweet couple in their 30s, and he got very, very drunk.
The husband.
The groom, yes. He got very, very drunk. And you can see it was a little irritating to the bride. And I was really saddened by it because they're such a sweet couple. I mean, he was drunk. I mean, he got a little
stupid.
Boisterous. Yeah, just
right.
A little.
Right.
I don't know how many people really noticed it, but it was. And it was embarrassing to her. You could see it was embarrassing to her.
Because she wasn't drunk.
No, she was not drunk.
Right.
But, you know, years ago, like I said, I'm in my 70s. Years ago, this was tolerated. I mean, it was almost...
Expected.
Right. You could find 5 or 6 people at a wedding that were really disgustingly drunk, and it was the norm.
Right. Yeah, and I've been to weddings like that, by 8 or 9 o'clock, you can look around and go, oop, going, gone, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, really time to go home because it's going to get stupid time.
Well, you know, part of it is, and I don't know the last time you've been to a wedding, Betty, but you probably can relate, and Cass,
recently,
too.
Recently.
Okay, so one of the things that happens is... It's an hour and a half when you come out from where you were sitting in the nicely ribboned chairs to watch the ceremony. Then they change that room into a dining room, and they move all of you into another room, which is hors d'oeuvres and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It lasts minimally an hour to an hour and a half. And that gets you to your chair on, you know...
Mm-hmm.
A piece of cheese and crackers.
Uh-huh.
Really feeling pretty sated by that time. And then they come by with, you know... Well, I mean, I'm sure there are weddings that don't do this, too. They have open bars. But when you have that much time and nothing to eat, and if there's no DJ or something like that, it's really hard. It's like I want to go take a nap then.
Yes.
Right. A girl can only drink so much Fresca, right? Well, Betty, Judy asked you before, are you still in bed?
Oh, no. I got up, went to the washroom, turned my radio on.
Okay.
Okay, but wait, are you dressed?
Too much information.
No, I'm not dressed. Some days I don't get dressed till it's time to go to bed and put new pajamas on.
The next morning.
Do you love those? We used to do that on Sunday at my house when I was growing up, and we called it slop days.
Just stay in your jammies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, happy holidays to you, Betty, or Merry Christmas, or Happy Hanukkah. Or...
Merry Christmas.
All right.
And Happy New Year, and I love you, girls.
Thank you very much.
Betty.
Yes.
Okay.
Stay well and safe.
312-981-7200, drunk at a wedding, not so much popular as it used to be. This is Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Hi, Judy and Kathy.
Hi.
I'm older also. I feel the lady's problems about sleeping. I, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm still walking around, which is stupid. I was up at 10:30 today. My story about the... Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. I went to a wedding this summer and it was hot and, you know, the sun and everything, and it was outside, and then we came in, they had an open bar, and it was young people in their late 20s, early 30s. By 10 o'clock, and the music was going, and of course it's a real loud, awful music that I hate. They don't dance anymore. They jump up and down. They just jump up and down and up and down. And then, and my daughter said, come dance. I'm not dancing like that, you know. And then the young girls that stood up to the wedding were on the dance floor, and now they're doing, I hope you know what this is, the worm. They fall on their stomach.
Right, and they lift their head and then lift their feet. Right. Yeah.
And then this guy picks this girl up. Now she's on her belly. He picks her up by the ankles, and she's crawling across the floor, and I'm going, oh, owie, owie.
Well, you know, that's drunk. That's pretty much drunk.
Geez,
right.
It's an open bar. Why do you have an open bar nowadays?
Lou called, and I want to talk to Lou, and it says, tip to not have guests overserved. So keep listening.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, go do the worm while you're waiting.
No, thanks.
Okay.
Goodbye. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Hey, Lou, what's your tip?
Hi. I got married 50 years ago, and the first thing my dad told me, says, son, get the best band you can afford and make sure that they play and they show up, because if they're dancing, they're not fighting. And that way,
they're not fighting.
Fighting, yes. Back then, in certain areas, if they got overserved, they weren't just acting stupid. Then they start fighting.
I want to go to some of these.
What area? What area was that? Like Appalachia?
Well, if you've never heard that, then I guess you didn't grow up in Chicago, did you?
I actually didn't.
Well,
yeah.
I must have hung around different areas, because I'll tell you what, I actually had to escort who was going to be my wife, out of a wedding because a fight broke out. And, I mean, it was nuts. It was all because of booze. So in order to stop that, you just make sure the people are dancing, having a good time, and
and having a cash bar. Serve champagne at the table for toasts, and if people want to drink that much, I think they're less likely to drink that much if they're paying for their own drinks.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. You know, especially today, because booze is so expensive. I mean, it's a different world today than it was.
Well, open bars at a wedding they're really, really pricey. And if you want to drink, if you want to have, I don't know, what gets you drunk? Four drinks? Five drinks?
God.
What?
I think that would have you in an ambulance.
Four drinks? Like four beers? Four hard drinks?
Four hard drinks, for sure. I don't know.
I don't know. I think there are a lot of people who have developed quite a tolerance, and four drinks is just the beginning.
You know, I remember back when I was young, and, you know, you'd go to a tavern, these guys that have a shot and a beer, and they'd have six or seven of them. And I didn't know how they could walk.
Yeah, I don't understand how people can drink that much, because as I said before, one.
Yeah.
One and done. That's about it. Yeah.
It's me, I guarantee you.
So, well, Luke, congratulations. You've been married 50 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And never a crossword between you.
Yeah.
Are you glad you stayed?
He's not here, so I'll lie. No, we never argue.
Are you glad you stayed?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Think about leaving ever?
No, not really. I mean, you know, everybody has hard times.
Right. What was the longest stretch?
Of hard times?
Yeah.
I think when our kid was sick, it was about a six-year period, and the stress of trying to fight to save his life was
difficult. Did you lose your child?
No, we were blessed. We celebrated his 40th birthday, and I got to tell you, when we started off, it was 85% chance he'd be dead in 3 months.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
what a figure to live with.
I'm sorry?
No, she just said what a figure to live with. Right.
Oh, I know. It was tough, you know, and I think what we learned is that we each went our separate ways in trying to take care of our daughter, take care of our son. And then when the stress was over, we sighed and then looked at each other and said, my God.
Missed you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, Lou, Merry Christmas to you both. Or Happy Hanukkah or whatever. Thanks.
And we're so glad you're on the radio again.
We are too. Thank you.
All right.
From the text line.
Yeah.
Leo says, one drink and done? Why bother even drinking? That's what I said.
And then someone else said, wouldn't want to go to a party thrown by Kathy.
I've had some damn good parties. You know what we should have thought of?
What?
You are so beautiful to me.
Well, the reason that Kathy is saying that is I was telling her that last night my husband and I were out to dinner, and we were sitting to our left was a table with two women having dinner. And I said to Tom, oh, my God, that woman is so beautiful. And he said, I was thinking the same thing. He said, but, you know, the difference is you could say to her, and it's true, you're so beautiful. I could if I was.
Okay.
You know, when I've met women, I've said to them, oh, my God, you're so pretty.
Right.
And I think when Amy Goose comes in here, we say that.
We do.
We
because
tell her she's
is.
So beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
And, but a man, how can a man do that without seeming like a drip? He says, well, I have, he said, well, I have you with me. So,
right. It's about delivery.
And I said, if you have me with you, it looks like you're insulting me.
Oh, I disagree.
I
think it's all in the delivery. It's not hanging around. It's not leaning in. I think body language makes a difference. But just to say to someone, I have to say, you are so beautiful. Over, out, get out of there. And I don't think that would be threatening to people. And you were saying this, and I was reminded this morning, I saw a video on Facebook. A kid decided to do an experiment where he asked students, it looks like they're maybe high school or college, and it said, I conducted an independent project, turned into a social experiment. It's a woman that did it. She invited a bunch of people, some of them she knew, some total strangers, and asked them to pose in front of her camera. And as they were standing there, she would tell them the purpose of her project. She said, I'm taking pictures of things I find beautiful. And the impact that that had on people, some of them got very shy, others happy. Some even got mad, but none of them could hide the raw emotion.
Mad.
Yeah, I don't know. But you see this, and you just see their faces just light up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sweet. So I think it's in delivery.
I don't think it's possible.
For a man to tell a woman she's beautiful without seeming like he's hitting on her?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I disagree. I
okay.
Do.
Well, let's
totally
throw it
do.
Out to our listeners.
Sure.
I mean,
312-981-7200.
If some man was standing with his wife and you're meeting them at, so let's keep the wedding theme going, and you're meeting them at a wedding. He says, and the man says, his wife is standing there, I've just got to tell you, I think you're so beautiful. Now, if he said, both my wife find you so beautiful,
then she's going to think you want a three-way. I think when you say, both my wife and I find you beautiful.
So you think that sounds like...
I think that's creepy. Yeah.
I think that's a more sophisticated world than you and I live in.
Okay.
You used to live in that world, but...
In what world? The three-way world?
No, the gossip columnist world.
Oh,
where somebody
okay.
said that you would go to that and, you know, that
both my
dark
wife,
interpretation.
Both my wife and I find you beautiful. I don't know. That just seems
okay.
Three-way invites to me.
I just think there's no way for a man to say it. I can't think of any single way.
So all right, well, here. This is Phil.
Let's talk to Phil. Hey,
hi, Phil.
Hello.
Hello.
I would have never picked up the phone and called you two, but I so agree with one. It is all about the delivery.
Okay, so here you are. You see a woman. You're in a restaurant with your wife. Don't know if you're married. This is a make-believe game. You see a woman that's beautiful, and you just want to tell her. Let's hear your delivery.
You know, it's very difficult for me to say this without sounding like a troll, but you are incredibly beautiful. And I will say that whether I'm alone or with another woman.
Okay. And then over and out. You don't stick around.
Over and out.
Right.
You smile and you leave it alone.
You don't touch anybody. You don't lean
nope.
in.
nope, that's the troll signal.
Exactly.
Have you done that?
Yes, I have. But I have not given the troll signal. But I, you know, even at a Starbucks or a coffee shop, if it's a beautiful girl, I tell her. And if it's done with sincerity, it's accepted with sincerity.
Okay. I'm with you, Phil. I think you can tell some. And who wouldn't love to hear that?
I think you miss a great opportunity in life to say something that you really feel and provide somebody with an awesome rest of the day.
Right. And because it may be somebody that wasn't feeling all that beautiful on that day.
Well, you never know. I mean, some people who are the greatest beauties have, you know, the most going on inside, and that could be a real pick-me-up for the rest of the day.
All right. Well, thank you.
Hey, no sweat.
Okay.
Thank you, Phil. So Phil agrees with Kathy.
Hey, John, you got to turn off your radio. John?
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Okay, and what do you think, John?
Yeah, there was no way I was going to call either, but absolutely no possible way to say that without it being interpreted as I'm hitting on you.
Okay, now let me go back to something you just said that has been twice said in the past 4 minutes. I was never going to call you. What's that about?
Just a topic. I wouldn't, I don't know. I love your show, typically call. But
so if you saw a woman that was just breathtaking and she was sort of sitting there at a table by herself, you wouldn't, no way, like Phil, go up and say, I'm not trolling, I just have to say, you are so beautiful.
Absolutely not. And even if my wife were there, because then the flip side is, if my wife is there, then all the questions about why are you saying that are coming on the other side. So no.
Right.
Okay. And one of our texters, of course, who can remain anonymous, says, seriously, Phil sounds like a super troll. I thought Phil sounded perfectly nice. All right. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
And here we go. Another guy. This is Tom.
I'm nervous.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, girls. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
This is the last couple calls have been spot on. I used to date this girl that was extraordinarily beautiful. I never told her that.
Why?
I walked into a restaurant once, and the bartender at the restaurant said, she just blurted it out. My God, you're beautiful. I mean, it was just.
But that was a woman who could say it.
And then she was embarrassed when she said it, but it was...
How long did you date this person?
Yeah, not long.
Well,
long.
Did she dump you?
It wasn't her fault or my fault, but that was just something that was just... The bartender didn't even realize what she said, and it was...
It was just sincere...
Yeah, it was just, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it was sincere, and it just struck me.
I'm struck. If you dated a beautiful woman, and you apparently said briefly, why wouldn't you ever have told her she was beautiful?
Well, because she was like Helen of Troy. You know, you just didn't want to gild the lily. That's.
So wait, she was in a different class than you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. But now I don't do that. That was the turning point. That was Damascus off the donkey thing. And that...
Okay, there's a lot of references going on here, Mr. Tom.
That was a biblical reference, correct?
Yeah, it was. But it was a revelation. Okay.
There you go. Okay.
And you should say that, damn it. I mean, you should say, you know, you're beautiful and, you know, God bless you.
Well, and Gail, our girlfriend Gail texts and says, people kiss their butts their whole life. Apparently Gail doesn't get that much. And nor do I. Judy, you were, you know, you're 70 now. You don't look like you did when you were 30. You were darling.
But
you were darling.
I never got told I don't think I was beautiful. I think I got told.
You were cute.
I did get compliments on a certain part of my face.
What? Not on your whole face? On your mouth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tom, thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 312, somebody suggests that a man could preface it and not make it objectionable or seem like he's trolling by saying, I'm gay, but I just want to say,
oh,
I think you're beautiful. No. And then if his wife is with him, there he might have some more splaining to do on that one.
Right.
Somebody else says, why do you have to tell beautiful people they're beautiful? I prefer to tell a woman in her 80s that she has beautiful skin, or whatever. I would rather compliment an attractive person on their kindness, not on something they had no power over. Back to your calls after this. I was plotzig before when I was reading a spot for Allie's Sweet Allie's Gluten-Free Bakery in Hinsdale, and now it turns out I have two gift cards, two $30 gift cards to Sweet Allie's Gluten-Free Bakery.
Are you going to use them both?
Yeah, we're going to trust you on this. If you are gluten-free or if you have somebody in the family who's gluten-free, that's who this is for, not somebody else. So but there's no way of checking. But give us a call at the prize line, 312-591-7000. We'll take the fourth and fifth callers, each of whom will win a $30 gift card to Sweet Allie's Gluten-Free Bakery, offering a variety of sweet, savory, and special occasion gluten-free baked goods.
You are so beautiful.
Joe Cocker. Is he still alive? Or did Joe Cocker die? I think he recently died. One of those dead or alive guys.
We're talking about whether or not you can tell a woman she is beautiful without it seeming like you're
a creep. Icky.
And this is Eric, because you say this backfired on you?
Yeah, I think she just couldn't take the compliment for what it was.
What did you say?
It wasn't like I just walked up to her and it was random. You know, we were at a party and she was there. We were talking and by the time the end of the night, I was just, you know, wanted to let her know. It was more than just her look. It was, you know, her personality, her talking, she was a beautiful person to me. I just, you know, our conversation, just the way it seemed like.
Did you say you're a beautiful person or you're beautiful?
Yeah. I just said, I think you're really beautiful.
How did it backfire?
She just like closed up and you could tell she wanted to get away. And I don't feel like I'm a creepy person, but I don't look like I'm I'm not your typical good looking guy or whatever.
You're not George Clooney.
Oh no.
You don't look like the Unabomber though. Now you're scared, Eric.
I'm a hairy guy, so I mean, like I always say, we're a dime a dozen, so I look like most typical guys.
You look like a guy.
A guy.
Okay. Yep. All right, you gave it a shot, but it didn't work out for you.
Yeah, but I wasn't looking to, I just wanted to pay her a compliment because it was like our conversation. It was just something about her. It just, you know, it's those people that you just appreciate and you don't, I guess my words probably weren't the best words for her, but I just wanted to let her know that.
Okay.
You know, what she does and everything else. And I really think that's beautiful. And I wish the world was full of her, you know.
Okay. So did you say that? Did you say you're beautiful? I wish the world was full of you.
No. Oh. I thought she was uncomfortable and I knew she wanted to.
Get the hell out.
I'm sorry, Eric.
And went on. But I wasn't looking to be in a relationship or anything. It's just I wanted to, you know, I try to do some good and let people know that, you know, I appreciate, you know, the night that we had. It was just nice conversation and just I appreciated it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, bro.
Okay. This is Bob. Hi, Bob.
You're a photographer.
Hey, Kathy and Judy.
Hey,
I am.
Hey, Bob.
Uh-huh. So you see a lot of beautiful people?
I do. You know, I started a movement called Inspired Beauty a couple of years ago because, and basically the concept is exposing the woman's beauty beyond their own vulnerability, because every woman is beautiful and they deserve to.
Bob, that's not true. If everybody is beautiful, then nobody is beautiful. Beautiful is a word to me that's for extraordinarily well put together.
We're not talking about inner beauty or
kindness or just goodness. We're just talking about beautiful.
My feeling is every woman has an aspect to their look that is absolutely beautiful. And it should definitely be appreciated by them to find a deeper sense of themselves. And instead of them feeling insignificant because they feel they're not beautiful, I think it's much better to go deeper and find what is beautiful and what is special about them.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's a little off topic for us, but it's nice that you feel that way.
Yeah, and you're in a perfect job for that. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Okay, some great texts. One says, I am not beautiful. I think I'm attractive. At a dress-up affair, a man said to me, you look stunning, by the way. And you look stunning, by the way. I've never forgotten it, and I never saw it as a hit. A man came up to my grown daughter downtown and told her she had a beautiful smile. It wasn't creepy, and she was pleased with the compliment. When I was leaving the store, a friend of mine came up to me and said, my husband said, that is a gloriously tall, beautiful woman. We laughed. I've never met her husband before. I was very flattered. Beautiful people know they're beautiful. They don't need to be told, says one of our texters.